Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Before we go into the lesson that I intend, I just want to make a few comments about the good scripture that was read to us a moment ago pertaining to John the Baptist and a question that he raised. Of course, the Bible student knows that John the Baptist was the forerunner, was the herald, the one that prepared the way for the coming of Christ. And because of his faithfully preaching the Word of God, he was imprisoned, later to be beheaded. And while in prison, whether he was wanting to just make sure or whether he had become somewhat discouraged, whatever might have been his motive, he sent a message to asking of Jesus, "Are you really the one we've been looking for?" I think it's significant, brethren, that Jesus didn't just say, "Go tell him yes." But Jesus really said, "You go and tell him the evidence. You tell him about the miracles that I am performing. You tell him about the blind being able to see and the lame being able to walk and the gospel being preached to the poor. You go and convince him with the facts of the matter concerning myself." You know, John once wrote that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. The Lord wants us to believe, but he wants us to believe on the basis of the evidence, the testimony that's true. And the testimony that is convincing and proving to us is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I think this is a significant passage because this is the plea of every gospel preacher to every person. Don't just accept our yes or our no, but as Jesus did, consider the evidence, the inspired evidence of the Word of God. And that will be convincing and will motivate you to want to be obedient to the Lord that you might enjoy the blessings that he offers unto us. But now for our lesson. I want you to take your New Testament and follow along with me as we study together two verses of Scripture. From Philippians chapter 3. You've heard them read many times and possibly have discussed them many times and studied them. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. As we all are aware, we have come to the end of another calendar year, and this, of course, ushers us into the year that is ahead of us. It's customary at the closing of a year for people to take inventory, to take stock of themselves and of things round about them, to sort of get their bearings. And that's what I hope we can sort of do tonight with these two passages, these two verses from the writing of the inspired pen of Paul. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice Paul is addressing his brethren. And we who are Christians, if we had lived at this time when Paul wrote, he would have been addressing us. And inasmuch as we are Christians and the word that Paul has written is directed to Christians, these are words that are applicable to me and to you. And immediately prior to this, Paul had somewhat rehearsed his own life, and he emphasized the tremendous immeasurable value of being a Christian, and he was striving to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, but he readily admits, "I have not yet apprehended. I have not yet laid hold on everything that I seek and that I want and that I need." The Apostle Paul realized something that he would have us to realize and that the Holy Spirit through Paul would have us to realize. As Christian people in a sinful world, we are indeed involved in a conflict, are we not? Meaning the Christian life is presented to us in a number of ways, and one of those ways is as a warfare. And it's an ongoing battle every day of our life. And of course, we realize certainly that the victory is not ours yet. To apprehend means to take to oneself. It means to appropriate. Paul said, I haven't reached my goal as yet. I'm still at it. I have my course before me. I haven't finished my course as yet. Now later on, when he was writing to Timothy, he told about how he had finished the course and kept the faith. But he is not in heaven yet. That's what he is saying. He's in Christ. He's on his way, just like you are, just like I strive to be. But brethren, we haven't laid hold on all of it yet. And the significance of this is in the fact that we must understand what Paul wrote and taught so many times. Not in order to strike fear in our heart, but to cause us to be alert and to be attentive and to be cautious. There's the possibility of apostasy, and we would never lay hold on that which we seek. Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So we can't faint in this task. Again, he said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, that I buffet my body, bringing in subjection, lest by any means, after I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway. Now, brethren, we know that if it was possible for the Apostle Paul to be a castaway, none of us would be so boastful as to suggest that we are as strong, let alone stronger, than Paul. And if there was a possibility of him being a castaway, do you not understand that that's true concerning us? Wasn't it the Holy Spirit through Paul that said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall? Now he didn't say that for us to be fearful in life. He said it for us to take heed, for us to be careful, for us to be attentive, and ever be alert. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. In fact, Paul wrote in Galatians 5 and verse 4 how that some had already fallen from the faith. He understood that truth that the Apostle Peter preached about our adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It's rather elementary to say, and certainly does not need to be belabored, for all of us understand that our life is composed of the past and the present, and should we live, the future. And Paul addresses the past, the present, and the future, I suggest to you, in these two verses. And as for the past, the things that are behind, he said, forgetting the things that are behind. I looked up and studied this word that's translated forgetting once again, and one of the ideas is to disregard the past and to put the past behind you to the extent that you do not allow it to affect you adversely. That's something that's rather easy to say. And most of us find it rather difficult to be able to fully apply. Brethren, the past is important to us, but for this reason, it can be a help to us, or if we are not careful, it can be a hindrance to us. Paul is simply teaching us here that the past is gone. What's done is done, and we can't change the past. It's now written. It's sealed. It's in concrete, as it were, as far as actually having occurred. Paul is not saying here, you just put everything in the past out of your memory. Why, even the Apostle Paul himself wrote about the time that things are written aforetime or written for Our Lady. We can learn from the past. The past is a great teacher. if we will only learn. Someone has said that, in a rather cynical fashion, I think, that the only thing we learn from the past is that we don't learn anything at all. Well, we would hate to think that that's the case. Can't we learn from our mistakes? And if we're truly wise, we can learn from the mistakes of others. You know, that's one of the glorious things about studying the lives of the great Bible characters, both good and evil. We can see the things that they did that were commendable and imitate them. We can see the things that were contemptible and avoid them. And you look back upon the successes of the past year and your past life, and you enjoyed them, you had them. And you can see the things that you ought to repeat and ought to do and ought to continue. Now, there are things in our past, doubtless, not always as they ought to have been. Isn't that true? And we ought to strive to correct the mistakes that we have made. We can't change them. They are made. But we can correct them, and we can be forgiven of those things wherein we have sinned against God and our fellow man. We don't want to look upon the past and see our successes and begin to rest upon our laurels and become satisfied. Nor do we want to look on the past, brethren, and focus our attention on our failures, and we've all had them, and become despondent and look with despair upon the possibility of ourselves. You know, I like the little story about the little boy. One time, man told him, "Son, you're not worth anything at all." And he came back and he said, "Well, that may be true, but God's not through with me yet." And I think we can all see that. We can look back upon those things in our lives that may make us think that we're not worthy of much of anything. But we can learn from the past, and God's not through with us yet. You know, the Apostle Paul could look back on his past, particularly his past before he came to Christ. And he could see there blasphemy, persecution of Christians, thinking that he was serving the Lord, doing many things contrary to Christ, even holding the garments of those who had so brutally stoned the life out of Stephen, the first recorded Christian martyr, casting Christian people into prison because of their faith, zealously going about upholding what he thought to be right, only to later learn how mistaken and how wrong he was about that which he was persecuting. He could see the past, and he was grateful for his forgiveness, as we can be grateful for our forgiveness. But he didn't so focus on that past where it crushed his present or hindered his future. And brethren, I suggest that's what we must do as we look upon the year that is closing, upon the years that have been in the past. We have to put them behind us, profit from them, both good and bad, but put them behind us, because what's done is done. The past tells us where we were. The past is what was. But let's understand, it was, and it's gone, and it's done. And so focus our attention upon the next span, and that is on the present. Then we can ask Paul, "What are you doing now?" Well, he said, "There's one thing I do." He's focusing now upon the present. Oh, the present is so important to every single one of us, dear people. In fact, that's all we really have. The past gone, we may not have a future. The present's all we've got. Now is all there really is. And every one of us at this given moment, we're either among the saved or we're among the lost. Your present spiritual condition is so important. It matters whether you are saved or whether you are lost. Now, Paul's present, physically speaking, when he wrote these words, or had the Holy Spirit had him to write them, he was in prison. But he was also spiritually at the present in Christ. And where you are tonight, in your relationship with Christ. That matters. But there's something else about the present that matters. Not only where you are, but the direction in which you are going. You know, you'll be driving down the freeway, you may see two cars. They're both at the very same place. But it makes a difference. One's going toward the destination and the one is leaving the destination. Two people here are ill in the hospital. The doctor says they're both just about the same condition. But the direction matters. One's getting better. And the other is getting worse every day. So it matters where you are. It matters the direction you are going. And I think it should behoove every one of us to realize our Christian life, as is pictured, as a journey. We are wayfarers. We're just passing through. But in which direction are we going? Can we be motivated to ask ourselves the question that is sometimes asked in a song that we sing? Am I nearer to heaven today? Might be a good song to close with. Just a suggestion, a hint to the wise is sufficient. Am I nearer to heaven today? Am I going in the right direction? Am I truly growing spiritually? Am I truly developing those Christ-like characteristics that will bring praise to God and make our calling and election sure? That's so important. And as for Paul's present, Paul, what are you doing? He said, I'm reaching forth. It's the idea, like it in the American Standard Version, if I recall correctly, it's stretching forth. It's reaching out for that which he still seeks, which he still wants, and which he realizes he needs. He's stretching forth to something in his future, something that is in front of him. And should not that be our occupation presently? That we're striving, they're reaching out, we're stretching forth for that which is still in our future. Because after all, he said, I haven't apprehended yet. So he can't quit. He's got to keep going. He's got to keep reaching out for that which he seeks. That's the way we ought to be spending our present. And he says, I press toward the mark. Notice this word, press. And the word mark. Now the word mark simply means that's his goal. That's his target. That's the end of what he has in view. The Apostle Peter once wrote in 1 Peter 1 and verse 9 that the end of our faith is our salvation. That's our goal. And my beloved brethren, if we miss reaching that goal of eternal salvation, we've missed it all. Regardless of whatever else might be commendable about our lives here upon this earth, regardless of the wealth or the fame or the power or the good health or the popularity or whatever else we may seek and achieve in this life, if we do not reach the proposed end of our faith, we have been most miserable failures in our existence. The Apostle Paul realized that mark, and so he says, I'm pressing toward it. And that word press, I think you can already grasp the significance of it. It's synonymous with the idea of pursuit. You are pursuing something. You know, on television you have these wild animal shows. I'm not talking about the two-legged wild animals here. I'm talking about four-legged wild animals now. And how they will stalk their prey, and then when it's within range, they start after it. And oh, how they run at breakneck speed, pursuing that which they want to have. It might be a trivial illustration, but you've seen the police car that fly down the road. It goes down in front of my house just quite often. Somebody doesn't know their numbers. They don't know that a 4 and a 0 means 40. And so they think it means 60, and the policeman knows better. And so here he comes out from his hiding place, and boy, they've got him all up and down in front of the co-op there. And here he is pursuing what he's after. Well, that's the idea. Here is our goal. Here is our target. Our salvation. And we pursue it with energy, with effort, with fervor, with determination, not allowing anything to knock us off track. That's what we need to be doing in the present. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we've been doing? Is that what we're going to keep on doing? Well, so much for the past and so much for the present. Let's look to the future. Because Paul is pressing for a prize. Now this word prize simply refers to that which is bestowed on the winner. Again, we might see here the inference of the Christian life as being like a race. And we run hard in faithfulness to win this race. And the wonderful thing about it, all of us can be winners. This idea of a prize is the crown, the reward that we ultimately receive. You know, the Lord said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. For great is your reward which is in heaven." There's the reward, the crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Eternal life. Now that's the prize that Paul was pursuing. And brethren, he says here, this prize comes as a result of a calling. Everybody that's a Christian has been called and has called back. Responding to the Lord's call, the Lord's invitation, the Lord's plea, we answer back, we call back by our obedience to what He has taught us to do. And this prize, this crown, this reward is a result of our calling. You know, there are different kinds of callings that we have in life. Sometimes we are called or invited to some social event. That's an enjoyable experience. We might be called to jury duty. I heard over the radio the other day a fellow, I guess he was trying to be patriotic, and what an honor it is to be on the jury. Well, you can think so if you want to. But anyway, it's a calling, and we are expected to answer that calling. A lot of you have been called into the military service of your country. And you responded to that calling. And there are many things, the consequences of responding to that calling, wasn't it? Here is a consequence of what he calls the high calling. Here's the noble calling. Here's the most important calling of all. Hebrews 3 and verse 1 refers to our calling as a heavenly calling, because it's a calling from heaven and it's calling us to heaven. It is the invitation from deity for us to lay hold and embrace the salvation that's made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when we think of calling, that's what the church is, a called out people. That's the idea of the word ecclesia, that's translated church. We've been called out of ignorance into knowledge. We've been called out of darkness into light. We've been called out of sin into Christ. We've been called out of this world into the realm of those who are saved. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman brethren, said in Romans 1 and verse 7 that you're called. Yes, God calls us. How does God call us? I feel sure you're already aware, for you have been thoroughly taught through the years how this is done. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, we're called by the gospel of Christ. Brethren, let me underscore something to you in this lesson right here. It is so important to partake of every study that you can of the Bible. It's so important that you hear and measure every sermon that you can possibly hear and measure. when you realize that's the way God calls us. God draws us, Jesus teaches us in John 6, 44 and 45, but He tells us how He draws us. It's because we have heard. It's because we have learned. It's because we are taught. And here is that high and heavenly calling that calls us into the service of Almighty God. And the result of the proper response to that calling is the prize. And Paul said, I'm pressing toward that mark. I'm pressing toward that prize. I'm pursuing that salvation that is the result of responding to the call of God. The past, the present, and that which is before us in the future. Well, we're like Paul. We haven't yet laid hold, have we? As we said at the start, we're not in heaven yet. We're on our way. And we're striving to be faithful, going down that pathway that leads to eternal bliss. But we're not there yet. We make mistakes. Let's learn from them. We enjoy successes. Let's profit from them also. Let's correct those things of the past that even that we cannot change. There'll be consequences. There'll be scars. I know you've heard this illustration many times before, but it does illustrate a man telling his little boy, son, whenever you make a mistake, well, you drive a nail in the fence post. And when you correct it, well, you pull that nail out. And after a while, he had a pretty good many nails in the fence post, and then he decided he'd better start doing better, and gradually he was pulling them all out. And after a while, he had all those nails pulled out. But there was a nail hole there still. And brethren, your past problems, your past sins, your past mistakes, they may leave scars. And they may indeed bear upon you consequences that you will have to take to your grave. But there's one consequence you don't have to take with you to the grave, and that's the guilt of sin. We can be forgiven, and God will blot it out as if it does not count against us anymore. And there's the beauty and the glory of Jesus the Christ, because it was by Him and through Him that this forgiveness was made possible and this forgiveness is offered. How do we continue to profit from the past? How do we make sure our present is as it ought to be? And how do we continue to pursue that which is our prize and goal? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brethren, we'll not go astray if we'll keep our eye on the Lord. In the months that may lie before us, let's keep our eye on the Lord. Individually, as a family, and as a congregation, always looking unto Jesus. After all, He is our example, isn't He? And we are to follow in His steps. It should be the goal of all of us in the days of the future, oh, to be like Thee. And the other beautiful hymn that we sometimes sing, more and more like Jesus I will ever be. We accomplish these things for the past, present, and future by first becoming a Christian, and then by being what we have professed to have become. Well, we've come to the end of a year. It's a good time for all of us to take a good close look at ourselves so that we can do better and so that we will be better. And God will be glorified and will make our calling and election sure. If you're not a Christian, why don't you close out this year by rendering obedience to the gospel and start off the new year in Christ, wherein there is salvation? Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that's the way you start. And then be faithful in your work and in your worship and in your deeds and in your life and in your associations. Pattern after the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've once started and faltered along the way, why, you know you can't go that wrong direction and reach your goal. You've got to go the right direction, and you can once again through repentance, confession, and prayer. Start anew. Be restored. Be refreshed. Pick up the battle you've laid down. March with faithful brothers and sisters toward that eternal home. That's the invitation of Christ. That's that high calling of which Paul spoke. If you are favorably inclined to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ tonight, will you do so right now?